little toe tapping, lighthearted Saturday morning tunes for you, delivered by Rosie on the House. I'm still thinking about what you were talking about last hour. Two things.
What was that?
How many miles our voice goes to get into the homeowners. And then we get into a car, and that's a moving target. How does the satellite know? to keep following that one?
Well, it's a radio
F-250
antenna.
It's just
a radio waves coming out the antenna. And it's up to you, the Arizona homeowner, if you're heading up north, to know our three northern Arizona affiliates. Or if you're heading south, who our two southern Arizona affiliates are. Or if you're coming into Phoenix, who the flagship station is. You can find them all at rosieonthehouse.com. We have KGVY in Green Valley, KNST in Tucson, KTAR in Phoenix, KAZM in Sedona, CAF in Flagstaff, and KQ&A in Prescott.
Quad City, the talk of the Quad Cities. So we got you covered from Nogales to Page. No matter where you are in that loop, there's no reason for you to miss a Rosie on the House episode. Now, in the 7 o'clock hour, we call that kind of the open hour. When the station came to us and said, did y'all want another hour? We thought about it literally for about 6 months, trying to decide, do we want to do that or don't we want to do that? And finally, they came to us and said, we're running out of time for you to make this decision. Would you please decide? And at that very moment, it struck me like a bolt of lightning. Yes, I'll take the fourth hour, but I don't want to do it on home improvement. I said, if you'll let me do it on any topic I want, then we'll take it. So we took it at 7 o'clock hour. We broadcast every single Saturday morning just about anything and everything having to do with the great state of Arizona. And this morning we had the editor of Arizona Highways in, Mr. Robert Steve, talking about what he's got planned for the upcoming issues and some of his favorite places to hike. I love the 7 o'clock hour. I was actually at a homeowner's house this week who wanted some remodeling done, and we were taking a look at that remodel, and he said, Rosie, I've listened to your show almost from the first day you were on for almost 30 years. And I heard it when it was 1 hour. I heard it when it was 2 hours. I heard it when it was 3 hours. And, you know, at 3 hours, y'all had a great show. But I want to tell you, that fourth hour makes the whole Saturday.
And right now, we only two of our radio affiliates carry it. Green Valley's getting ready to pick it up.
That's
so we'll
right.
Be on three. So we'll,
Mr. Walker's going to
we'll
pick it up in
have a,
KGVY.
A signal in central, northern, and southern Arizona.
For that 7 o'clock hour, it's a lot of fun.
The Arizona people, places, and things.
And then 8 o'clock is always outdoor living, where we talk about landscaping, gardening, anything having to do with your shrubs, your bushes, your vegetable garden, your trees, and whatnot. 9 o'clock's open hour. We were flooded last hour with calls. Jennifer was manipulating and managing the phone bank. They were all lit up. And then the 10 o'clock hour, we like to take, you know, 9 o'clock hour is kind of like homeowner 101. Where we just talk about any of the basic, simple things that y'all are trying to get done around your house. But then in the 10 o'clock hour, we've gotten in the habit of bringing in one of our Roth-certified experts and picking one topic and drilling down really deep on that topic. So it's kind of like homeownership sophomore level or junior level. And it coincides with the blog that we publish on our website, rosieonthehouse.com, every Thursday. And what we've published this last Thursday was 6 common air conditioning problems that you can expect this time of year. So we've brought in Jeff Carmichael from Rheus. Jeff,
good morning.
Thanks for taking time out of your weekend, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
So we're kind of like right in the middle of our most brutal energy management season right now.
Right.
We had a brutal July.
We're in the lump right now.
Man.
Just trying to make it through.
Yeah. So now we're trying to push through, and we want to talk about, you know, some of the things that people are seeing with their air conditioner right now. If you've got a question for Jeff or anything having to do with whole house energy audits or power consumption or air conditioning, Jeff's here, and he can certainly help me out if you've got a question that's over my head, which isn't hard to do. Jeff will be here to fill in and back me up on it. The number is 1-888-767-4348. So when you're getting calls now, what are some of the things that you're seeing more often than not?
I would say the big majority right now is going to be the homeowners that didn't do a maintenance in the spring. One of the big ones is the condensation lines. Those will back up. They get dirt and debris in them over time. We like to flush those out at least once a year, but we would recommend twice a year in the fall and the spring to prevent that water from backing up in those lines and falling. Your sheetrock falls through your living room, or water might pour out that return grill where you replace your filter. So
I capture my condensate.
We see a lot of homeowners do that too.
And we've got two units,
mm-hmm.
and it literally is running at more than a drip. It is a small stream.
Yep.
I mean, through the course of the last several weeks, there were several days I collected over 15 gallons of water.
It's a great resource to water your plants or divert it to the garden or your dogs.
The dogs absolutely love it. Yeah. Hey, Dad, could you bring us some more of that cold water over here, please? So they absolutely love it. But so you're generating a lot of condensate right now. Folks, one of the things you could do is just kind of a self-evaluation is find that condensate line on your air conditioner unit and make sure it's dripping.
Yep. We get a lot of homeowners that call and say, I got water running on my condensation line. Is there something wrong? And we're like, no, that's great, actually.
Let her run, baby. Yeah. Let her run. When you see that stop, then you've got a problem. In particular, what we have, what we call a horizontal air handler.
Yep.
The entire unit lives in your attic.
Yeah.
Including the condensate pan.
Right.
And you have a primary condensate pan.
Yep.
And a secondary emergency condensate pan that each have redundant backup secondary drain lines.
Right.
But it's not that unusual for all of those drain lines.
Yeah.
To plug.
Right. It's very common.
It's in the attic.
Yep. That they're bound to get clogged up. You know, you got insulation, you got dust in your attic, you got a lot of things that can potentially get into those pans and clog and block them up. So it's inevitable that's going to happen at some point. So it's really simple, though. If you just do your maintenance, get that knocked out in the spring and the fall, we include part of that maintenance is flushing those lines so you don't, peace of mind. But then there's also other parts that we can install on your unit called safety float switch. And that'll actually turn the system off if that primary line gets backed up to prevent that. So then once your unit will just shut off and you need to give us a call and we'll come out and flush the line before drywall damage, before anything else potentially worse happens.
And most manufacturers of air conditioning equipment don't include that switch.
They don't. Yeah. So we include that on every system install, but it's up to the contractor, not necessarily the manufacturer of the air conditioning system.
Yeah. I know horizontal air handlers can be pretty efficient, but boy, I have never been a big fan of them. When I can engineer into a split system,
mm-hmm.
I'll go split system every time.
Yep. Yeah, you can get more efficient systems out of the split. So
we actually had a homeowner call us just this past week and said, Rosie, we've got an air conditioning contractor here that says our air conditioning needs to be replaced,
mm-hmm.
but they've got to cut trusses.
Yeah, yikes.
to get the unit in or out.
Yeah. I mean,
now, these horizontal air handlers, they're a package unit.
Mm-hmm.
They live in your attic.
Mm-hmm.
They're hopefully hung on some kind of sound isolation block so that you're not feeling your whole house rumble and tumble when they're running. But when you do need to replace them, they can be hard to get out of a scuttle hole.
They are difficult. So we always prep our homeowners in advance. If you're at that point where we're investing into a new air conditioning system, we're ready to go. We're very upfront that, that attic access, whether it's in your master bedroom closet or your laundry room closet, we're going to have to pull that trim off, and it's not going to look good after we're done. But that's included in our system install is to have one of our certified drywallers come out and take care of the texturing, the paint, and the trim.
So you disassemble it in the attic.
Yeah.
And you send it down in little pieces through the hole.
Yeah. And it, you know, air conditioning systems are getting bigger than smaller. So we're going completely opposite of every other industry out there. But, you know, as we drive for more efficient units and more efficient systems, well, those parts happen to get bigger. So a lot of the systems that are going into your house are going to be larger than what we're taking out.
We're talking right now about the things Jeff and his air conditioning technicians are seeing. We interviewed all of our ROSI certified air conditioning contractors across the state of Arizona and said, what are y'all seeing right now this time of year with the units halfway through their cooling system? What are the recurring problems you're seeing, and how could we talk about that on Saturday's program to kind of give our homeowners an advance notice? These are the things we're seeing. These are the things you need to manage your way through. And Jeff mentioned it a little bit earlier. It's primarily the folks that didn't get the spring tune-up are the ones you're hearing from right now in the middle of the season.
Right. Yep. It's all the preventative maintenance items kind of come out of the woodwork after a couple months of operation on the system.
And so lesson one?
Lesson one is get that maintenance done.
Get that spring tune-up.
Get the easy things, easy items on the air conditioning system solved up front. And you know, hopefully that'll prevent any major breakdowns from coming down the road.
All right. Well, we've got callers loading up right now. We do have an empty line if you'd still like to get in. 1-888-767-4348 here with Jeff Carmichael of Rias, air conditioning, a home energy audit company. Rias has been a ROSI certified partner. I'm going to say that has to be back. That's going on 10 years right now, I bet.
Pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah. How long have you been with them?
5 years.
Yeah, and,
over five.
Oh, yeah. They
so
were
at least five.
They were at least another five. Yeah.
From crawl spaces to vaulted attics, he's seen it all, and he's giving you his advice free of charge. It's a beautiful thing. Now, back to ROSI on the House.
Oh, Gary, let that roll. That sounds good. Helping you through your beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. It's ROSI on the House. We're here with Jeff Carmichael from Rias talking about air conditioning just now. And we covered in the first segment the number one thing we see more often than not right here in the middle of the cooling system is problems with the condensate lines. And the fact that generally the service calls he's seeing right now are primarily the people that didn't call him for the spring tune-up before the cooling season started. We're going to go to the second most common problem, but I want to take a couple calls first because people are loading up in here, and let's visit with them. If you'd like to talk, give us a ring, 1-888-767-4348. Let's run up to Prescott Valley and welcome Fred into the conversation. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. How are you doing? This is the first time I've called you in about 2 years.
Well, I'm glad you did. I bet you're having a beautiful morning up there. I was up there Wednesday night for the lightning storm. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, no, it's calmed down a little bit now. Hey, listen, I got a 2.5 ton up on the roof. And in order to keep check on whether it's running properly or not, it ranges, the vent temperature ranges anywhere from 52 to sometimes as high as 65. When the temperature goes all the way up, like say 100 degrees, that vent temperature is going to drop, or it's going to rise, isn't it?
Are you talking about the air coming out of the actual registers themselves?
Yeah, right. I got one of those digital thermometers.
Yeah.
I keep checking it every once in a while to make sure it's working efficiently, you know. And I remember one time it was almost 100 degrees, and I didn't see the 52, 55 temperature. I saw about 70. Is that normal then?
That's a loaded question. It will. Your air conditioning system will struggle to keep up with the demand of the heat. So the air coming out of your registers, that is normal, that it won't blow as cold as that temperature rises. Air conditioning is typically designed when we size a unit to blow, to keep your house at 78 degrees on 110 degree temperature, outdoor temperature. So
yeah.
I wouldn't want to say, you know, we would really have to check the system out to tell you if there is something wrong there. You could have something wrong, but it isn't abnormal for the system to have to, blow a little bit warmer to keep up.
Now, Fred,
when I saw it. climb to the higher ones, I thought maybe it was getting low, because I did have a slow leak in that thing, a real, real slow leak a long time ago, and I threw a pound of sealer in there, and it seems to have straightened it out. Is sealer, you know, is that stuff okay, or is that bad news?
That's kind of the last leg effort. So
yeah,
that's yeah. You throw this. We would only throw the sealant in if we're really trying to get somebody through maybe a month or 2 months until they're ready to invest into the new system.
Oh, it doesn't last then. In other words, when you put that sealer in, it only works for a while and
correct.
Then it comes back again.
Correct.
Now listen, Fred, when you're self-diagnosing your air conditioning, and you've got that thermal imaging gun and you're registering the air coming out of the supply registers.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I want you to walk over to the return register and get a temperature reading there.
Yeah.
If you've got a split of about 18, 19, 20 degrees,
yep.
It tells you your equipment's running about right. When you start getting a much bigger split than that, then that's probably an indication maybe your little leak has come back.
Right.
I took that into consideration. I do take both temperatures. That's
good.
True. Yeah.
Okay.
You're right. One last question before I go. See how good you are. When you have a 20, when you have a 20 amp draw on your amp probe on each side, you know, the 240, does that mean the total unit is drawing 20 or is it drawing 40? What are you getting billed for? Just 20, right?
Just 20.
Just 20, Fred.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I forgot my electronics years and years ago. I knew that answer, but
so,
I'm getting senile.
So did we pass the test?
Okay, so. That's about all I got.
Okay, Fred. Thanks so much from beautiful Prescott Valley. Used to be called Grass Valley. Before that, it was called Antelope Valley.
It's going to be called California.
It's going to be called California Valley here pretty soon. When I first went through Prescott Valley in about 1972, it had a smashing population of about 1,100 people.
And that gentleman that called last hour concerned about the population that can't come from California, there's a way we can flip it on him, though.
Oh, well, he probably wants to share that with us.
There are some – California has some beautiful, beautiful country.
Okay.
Once we get over here – we just need to be buying up their land over there.
Oh.
When they all get over here, be like, see ya.
Is they're moving in here, we'll swap with them and move over there. All right, we're here with Jeff Carmichael from Rias talking about air conditioning. We've got Rick and Mesa has a particular question about a condensate line, which we were talking about earlier. But before we take Rick and to go back to condensate lines, let's talk about that capacitor. But you know what? We're not going to have time before break.
Uh-oh.
But that's one of the things that occasionally a homeowner will think they're going to try and fix themselves.
Yep.
Dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Real dangerous. So we're going to talk about your air conditioning capacitor when we get back. That will put you on the edge of your seat. I know it sounds a little technical, but we'll make it fun. Don't go anywhere.
If your husband is sealing the tub with toothpaste, then you've come to the right place. It's Arizona's number one home improvement resource, the Rosie on the House Show.
Here every Saturday morning for you, the Arizona homeowners. We're talking air conditioning this particular hour. And what service calls are generally creating the most activity this time of year when we're about halfway through, hopefully a little more than halfway through, our cooling season? And we were talking earlier about condensate lines and how they can plug up. You know, you get a monsoon season, blow through the attic, stir around that insulation a little bit. Those little fine filaments end up in the condensate pan, and they all have to go downhill, down slope. And they start congregating right there where the little drain hole is, and pretty soon they've created a dam, plugs it up, and you've got a problem. Jeff was saying at Rias, y'all install an automatic shutoff valve for those when you're installing them new.
Right, yep.
Condensate line just happens to get plugged because somebody's not doing the regular service calls. You're not going to have the ceiling come crashing down in on your head because of the water that's up there.
Right.
And then the next thing we wanted to talk about was capacitors. But I want to take this one call from Mesa first before we do. Let's bring Rick into the conversation, who's been patiently holding. Rick, good morning.
Good morning.
What's your question, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
You
I bought a 19, I think it's an 82 manufactured home, and I noticed that around my house I don't have a condensation line at all. Is it in the bottom of the manufacturer, or is it where the air conditioning unit is? Because my filter does feel a little wet at times, and I just never seen a condensation on the outside perimeter house on the manufactured home.
All right, 1980s manufactured home. I'm gonna walk in the house, Rick, and somewheres there's gonna be a closet with a vertical air handling cabinet, right?
Right. Uh huh. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Rick, you probably have your lines are coming right off the coil inside, probably inside or maybe even behind the cabinet, and that's mm-hmm. going down right directly, probably underneath the house is what mm-hmm. I would imagine. But nonetheless, that needs to get looked at because if there's water dripping on that filter, something's not hooked up properly. So
something's come loose.
Yeah.
The drain line.
Drain line could have cracked. It could have popped off.
Or it's plugged and it's just back dripping off the A coil down onto the filter.
Very well could be.
Yeah. So I imagine the home has skirting all the way around it.
No, sir. It's sitting on the foundation. Pillars in the bottom.
Okay. Well, can you do a little visual inspection? I mean, you should see a PVC pipe leaving the unit and going straight down.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that?
It will go straight down the filter, the insulation, right? That's under there.
Yeah, it should extend down beyond that.
Okay.
There ought to be a little pipe extending down through the floor, through the cabinet base that the air handling cabinet's mounted on, and it'll generally just be a PVC line, and mm-hmm. going straight through. If you can, it's gonna be tough.
Yeah, I would give us a call and get us out there just to run a service call. You know, we won't charge you for it, but get out there and just do a visual for you, because I think it'll help you out. We'll know what we're looking for and be able to kind of guide you on what's going on.
There you go, Rick. You just earned yourself a free service call from Rias. Jeff, thanks for the generosity. Usually when we have one of our experts here in studio, they're always super generous at taking care of our callers. I appreciate that. Rick and Mesa, if the call comes in.
And, Rick, if you want to just give our office lines are open this morning so we can get you scheduled for that, and that number is 480-969-7500.
Romy and I were talking soapboxes earlier, and my soapbox of super cooling is just one of them. Then his soapbox of flipped real estate homes. I've got another soapbox, and it's how air conditioning companies build into their service calls opportunities to rip off homeowners.
Yeah, it's becoming more common across the board of highly performance paid technicians in the field.
So I want to educate, I want to take the next couple of minutes without mentioning any names, just talking through if this is the way your current air conditioning contractor treats you, maybe you need to find a different air conditioning contractor. What are some of the things you're seeing out there that are just notorious?
I would say if you're getting a large service ticket every single spring or every single summer or every time something goes wrong with your unit and you're in a frazzle and calling, you know, Google AC repair and
right.
call the top list.
right.
If you got a large, lengthy bill, it's typically because that technician's probably paid $10 to show up at your house, and he's probably been at your house for 2 hours. So not many people work for $5 an hour. So he's typically probably paid 20 to 30% commission on whatever he can sell you. So he's really going to find everything he can to get every single dollar he can out of your air conditioning unit.
Yep.
And it's not always necessarily needed. So it's a problem for our industry, and you know, we've at Rias have took the stronghold to really maintain our integrity of our technicians and just pay our guys a high hourly rate to keep them on board and incentivize them, motivate them in other ways than trying to rip our customers off.
And you know what, Jeff, you hear it advertised all the time about the really low first time call.
Yeah,
and I do not want to paint the industry with a broad brush here, because I believe there are a couple companies out there that do it and do it with integrity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But I think there's a whole lot of them that do that and they're going to find something wrong with your equipment just to make sure they can pay for getting the guy and the truck and the equipment and the parts and the tools covered with workman's comp and insurance and licensing and sales tax. They're going to make that ticket pay.
Yep, absolutely.
So be particularly skeptical of companies that are advertising what you know it costs them less, it costs them more to get to your house than it does that they're going to charge you for that first introductory offer. Be very, very careful.
Now, I got another question. How many points can you possibly have on an inspection? Every year it seems like, call now for our special.
90 points.
It used to be 19, then it was 27. I think I heard a 49 point.
We're all looking at the same stuff. And I think 40 is there's about 40 realistic items that need to get checked, and that's from every, you know, contactors, amp draws, and a lot of that's visual inspection on for dirt and dust and components that need to be cleaned.
All right. We were talking about the most common dilemmas and failures air conditioning units have this time of year. We've already covered number one. Number two, the capacitor.
Yep. That's basically, it's like a battery. Okay, so that's a part on your air conditioning unit that's bound to fail. The tricky thing about capacitors are we have a lot of homeowners that like to try to do that themselves. And I hear it.
Well, I can Google them.
You can Google them,
I can get one delivered to my house for...
Yeah, probably $10.
$10.
and that's... We're trying to make a real hard stance and informing and educating people that that's not a do-it-yourself repair. There's high voltage, highly dangerous electrical components in and around where that capacitor needs to get seated in the air conditioning system. And Rosie, just like I was telling you, I was just at a woman's house last week with one of my technicians, and she had bought a capacitor and put it in herself.
Okay.
Installed it herself, and then it went back out because she got the wrong size capacitor for her system. And as we're out there, she's reaching her hands in, and we had to caution her and, you know, say, ma'am, could you please step back? Because we're not going to be here when you reach in and touch something and get zapped. So we just caution homeowners that there's certain do-it-yourself things like your filters. You can spray off your condenser outside. You could do items like that, but please don't. If you got to pull a screw off to do something with your air conditioning system, stop right there.
And what are the indications that the capacitor is bad? What are the symptoms the homeowner is seeing?
Typically, it just goes out, unfortunately.
Just quits.
Yep. It's just like your car battery, especially here in Arizona. We know the only last couple of years, and it just goes. So.
Well, I want to go to the caller because he's been on hold for a while. But the other thing I want to come back and talk to is hard start kits.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to cover that in just a minute. So, folks, I told you we'd keep you on the edge of your seat talking air conditioning. That's what we do. Don in Glendale, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Hear you loud and clear.
I have a 3-ton, 14-seer train on a 1,200-square-foot house. My serviceman came out last Friday. The house was 68 degrees, and the first thing he said is, you can't keep your house this cold. And he started explaining the temperature on the coil, the Freon is 32 degrees, the air coming across is 44, and it never gets warm enough up there to drain all the water off the coil, and it's just running inefficient. And this is, I'm trying to super cool.
Okay.
I have no idea how to resolve that issue.
Did you super cool last summer?
Yes, I did. I don't have any problem doing it. It seems to work. He just says it's not good for the train air conditioner.
Jeff, do you want to weigh in on that?
I'm not sure why he would say that. I don't know exactly what he saw through his diagnostic process on your system to tell you that, so I'm not going to say he was wrong just because I don't have all the data that I need to make that recommendation to you. But again, you know, just like I think what did we do that for Rick, we can come out, you know, no charge for you and do a service call and check out the system and kind of tell you why he may have said that, or just find out if he just isn't familiar or educated enough on super cooling.
Well, and I will tell you, Don, you know, we have Rosie certified plumbers all over the state of Arizona. If I put them in a room and I said, I want everyone that prefers copper plumbing to raise their hand, one half of the guys would raise their hand. And then I'd say, okay, let me see by a show of hands how many prefer PEX plumbing. The other half would raise, okay? And I have Rosie certified air conditioning contractors that try and dissuade their homeowners from super cooling. Now, Jeff isn't one of them, but, you know, they feel like it does increase the wear and tear on the air conditioning unit. And I've challenged them. I've said, show me the empirical evidence for that. I'm asking my air conditioner to work hardest when it's the coolest outside temperature. I'm asking it to stop and start much less often, which is where the wear and tear comes from.
Yeah.
And you just intuitively think, okay, if I'm going to ask my air conditioner to work so hard to get my home to 68 degrees, I must be wearing it out. This is a tactic we've been using for 15 years. And hundreds, thousands of people all over the valley are doing it. If your unit's freezing up because you're trying to super cool, there's something fundamentally wrong with your unit.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no evidence or anything that's causing super cooling to cause harm to your system. If anything, it's asking your system to operate more efficiently. There could be something wrong with the unit, though, that would propose somebody to say, don't super cool.
Super cooling is like driving a Ferrari on the freeway, as opposed to driving a Mack truck through stop-and-go traffic, through downtown. That's the difference.
Yep, exactly.
All right, Don. So there's our opinion. But, Jeff, I thought you handled that very well, that you weren't going to say anybody had judged it right or wrong without seeing more data. I'll be a little bit more upfront than that. Don, your technician was wrong. So there you go.
You're tuned into Arizona's number one home improvement resource. It's the Rosie on the House Show.
That's the Highwayman, right?
This playing right now?
Yeah.
No. Dire Straits. You can turn on. I'm not a lip reader. Mr. Gary D. New programming voice here at Rosie on the House. Legendary radio engineer broadcaster. He's been on with Tim and Willie. KEZ, Beth and Friends.
Well, it sounds like the Highwayman to me.
No, not even close.
All right, let's go to Mike. Hey, Mesa. We're here with Jeff Carmichael from Rias talking air conditioning. Good morning, Mike. What's your question to Mesa, my friend?
I want to move my laundry room vent to the garage, and I climbed up there yesterday, and it's successful. There's enough duct to make the transition, but I have blown-in insulation, and it covers the tops of the trusses. And I was wondering about disturbing that. Does it have to be reblown after you go in there?
Yeah, well, just a 5% failure rate in your insulation will cut its effective R value by 50%. So what that means is if you trample over 5 feet, 4 feet of that attic space, that the amount of heat coming into your house now is very significant.
Now, I actually know the layout here. Mm-hmm. His air conditioning vent to the laundry room.
Yep.
It's ironic, but the laundry room is the coldest room in the house. And then when you walk out in his garage, he is building a Ducati sidecar, gorgeous motorcycle.
Okay. So we want to cool that space.
So he kind of lives in his garage.
Yeah.
And so he's saying, look, I can live with the laundry room a little warmer. Can I just take that and throw it in the garage? And he has two upright air conditioners out there that you buy at home.
Yeah.
You know. And and he's insulated everything.
Yeah.
He just wants to divert that laundry room duct into the garage.
Well, it sounds like We can talk about that, but it sounds like you're invested a lot of time in your garage. You've already invested a lot with the two portable air conditioning units, with insulating and doing all the right steps. Well, the last step and final solution would be putting a mini split on that garage and then just leaving your central air conditioning alone. And those mini splits operate extremely efficiently. They'll cool that garage down to 60 degrees if you like. That would be what I would think is the most beneficial thing for you if you're going to be spending that amount of time in that garage space.
I fought air conditioning my garage for a long time.
Yeah.
I've evap-cooled my garage for 20 years. Mm-hmm. We raise German Shorthair dogs, and they've got one corner of the garage where they live. They're kind of getting spoiled. They anytime it's about over 90 degrees, they start jumping into their kennels. But I finally bit the bullet, took the evap cooler off, mm-hmm. and mounted a mini split.
And how
my monthly cooling bill mm-hmm. went down about $35.
I'm sure. Yeah.
And I never have to get up there and replace the pads,
yep.
adjust the floats. Power wash the evaporative cabinet, evaporative cooler cabinet.
Yeah,
is the best thing I ever did.
Yeah, we really like mini splits, and we're installing a lot of them for homeowners in garages or master bedrooms.
Extremely quiet.
They're quiet. They are efficient. They last forever. A lot of them have these crazy warranties. One of the mini split manufacturers that we partnered with, Daikin, actually has a 12-year warranty on everything. That's labor, parts, so you literally won't pay a dime for 12 years if anything goes wrong with that system.
So, Mike, yes, you can divert that laundry room supply register into the garage. Disturbing the insulation it's critical that you put it back.
Mm-hmm.
That statistic is absolutely accurate. If you disturb 5% area, if your living room is 20 by 20, 400 square feet, and you go up there and you install sound around speakers in the back of the room, and you disturb 20 square feet, 10 square feet, you've just reduced the efficiency of that room by 50%. You've created a thermal bridge, which nature has a way through the law of physics of finding that bridge, and the small little crack becomes a massive crack, theoretically,
right?
How the dam breaks in the dike, right? Yep. So if you're going to do all that, Mike, make sure you get all that insulation tucked in and put back in place. Jeff Carmichael from Rias. What's Rias's phone number one more time?
480-969-7500.
Very good. Air conditioning, sophomore level, junior level. That's what we do in the 10 o'clock hour. We take it to the next level for those of you that want to learn everything you can about managing your house, home, castle, or cabin. Hope you took the information we shared with you today and applied it into, inserted it into your database to protect yourself. That's why we come every single Saturday, to protect you, to educate you, and to entertain you. So in some small way, we at Rosie on the House can become you, the Arizona homeowner's very best friend.